Hello and welcome to a somewhat delayed Tech Days Online. We're about 8 minutes behind schedule, not because I had to retie my bow tie. We just had a little bit of a glitch with the recording gear at the back of the room. I'm Andrew Fryer, your host for this morning, fortunately not for the rest of the week. And I'm joined by my very good friend, Alan Mitchell. I'll introduce him more in a minute. We've got a day really of, a morning of data platform, an afternoon of bots and interesting bits and pieces, and a whole week of different content. And I'm actually back on Friday, bizarrely. Without further ado though, because we are a little bit late, I'm going to get straight into what we want to talk about first, which is the exciting world of Data Factory. And I have to say, I'm an old business intelligence guy, and I use that integration services thing.
Okay.
Data Factory baffles me a bit, and I thought, rather than me try and explain it, let's get somebody who uses it every day.
Okay.
Alan.
Okay. So, hi, I'm Alan Mitchell. I'm a data platform MVP, and I've been working with Azure Data Factory now for a few years, which I'm sure you have as well. So I've seen it since it was just Notepad. And I've seen it now where it's in the bladed portal and we've got a couple of good things.
Right, okay.
Okay.
So, Alan, what do you... You use this thing every day?
Yeah, so we use it practically every day. So we've got a number of customers using it and we do large data moves with it and we do smaller data moves with it. But pretty much all data moves that we do with Data Factory is data born in the cloud.
Right.
So we don't tend to see much of the gateways where you come on-premise and take it into the cloud. We pretty much see it just going across the cloud.
So I think one of the things we really need to get into today is the difference between the way this thing works, because it's designed in that way, than other tools that people have seen before that move data around.
Okay. So I guess for our audience, that's going to be integration services, right?
Yeah.
That's going to be integration services. Okay, so I've got some slides.
Great.
About integration services versus Azure Data Factory.
Mm-hmm.
So the differences between integration services and Azure Data Factory, I get asked for all the time. People come, they look for Azure Data Factory, they're expecting integration services. And you know what? It's not the same kind of thing. So in integration services, you've got things like connection managers, source adapters, transforms, destination adapters, right? So we're all happy with that.
Yeah.
But in Azure Data Factory, you've got things like linked services, mm-hmm. which you could look at as being connection managers.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got data sets, which you could look at as being your source adapters, your destination adapters. And then you've got pipelines, which you can look at as being your transforms in integration services.
Right. Okay. So, how do we use it? What does it look like? Perhaps we should.
Okay. So let me see. So I've got a number of slides. Let me see if I can get a slide to show you exactly what it looks like.
Okay.
Okay, so this is usually the part where when I'm speaking to people about moving their data, this is the part where everybody starts sweating.
Yeah.
Right?
Not just the lights.
Not just the lights, but this is usually the part. So this is what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Underneath, everything is JSON.
Yes.
Right? So in integration services, if you look underneath the covers, it's all XML. Right?
Mm.
But in Azure Data Factory, it's JSON. Right? So you can build it, so there's a natural structure to the way that this JSON is structured. So for this, for example, this is defining a table, a data set.
Yeah.
And in it, you can see that we've defined the structure, we've given it the name, we've given it the data type. Yeah, we're telling it now, okay, when I go out and find it, where will I find it?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see some interesting syntax down there with blob path.
Yeah.
What that does is that says, okay, I've encoded where to find that with something from the time slice. So when this kicks off, when it happens every hour, every day, every month or whatever, what I want to do is take parts of that date, insert it into my location. Here you can see it's year, month and day. And that is where you will find my data set.
So we've got this temporal stuff built in right away, where perhaps in, if I remember rightly, it has been a while,
okay,
integration services, we kind of had the thing, and then outside of that, we had a scheduler.
Correct.
We're doing something very different here, because I guess a lot of the data we're looking at is like off a log file or off a site, and we're capturing a little bit of it every so often.
Correct.
And then we want to do something with that straight away.
Correct. So usually we will find that Azure Data Factory will import something every hour.
Mm-hmm.
Very often to import every hour. One key difference, though, between Data Factory and Integration Services that I didn't call out earlier is Integration Services, when it says, I am moving data between A and B, and I'm doing this little thing in the middle, Integration Services is doing that. Right? Difference is Azure Data Factory isn't. Right? So invariably what happens with Azure Data Factory is it's an orchestrator.
Uh-huh.
Right? So it will say, here's your data source, here's where you're going, and then the activities, it will call out to something else. Most often, that is something like Hive or Pig, or it will go out to Spark or Azure Data Lake. Yeah. So it will call out into something else to do the work, and it will orchestrate exactly where everything's going.
Right.
So some people call it a SQL Server Agent,
mm-hmm.
yeah, because it orchestrates mm-hmm. what's going on. Yeah, but it doesn't actually do the data movement for you.
And I guess the reason it doesn't is where with integration services, when I used to do it, although the data volumes could be considerable, I remember moving around like 15 million rows a night using, you know, in a SQL job and building cubes and what have you, we can put zeros on the end of that now. And so
yes.
we need a different approach.
Yes. So this is all about being able to move large amounts of data around in the Azure cloud. So taking blob storage, taking Azure Data Warehouse, taking Azure SQL DB, Document DB, there's Cassandra, there's lots now of different sources and destinations that we can use and we can pick up and we can deposit somewhere
else.
And
these are all petabyte scale sources, right?
Correct. They could be. They could be.
Yeah, could be. But that's what it's designed for, right? Kind
correct.
Of
it's designed for picking it up. And if you've, on Saturday when we were both at SQL Saturday Cambridge, I gave a talk on something called the Lambda architecture.
Yes.
Right, which is all about how to move big data and it was coined by Nathan Martz a few years mm-hmm. back, and it's got the concept of your data coming in, you've got your real-time reactionary stuff where you've got to react, boom, mm-hmm. boom, panic button's been pressed mm-hmm. or whatever, but then you've got the data which is sat there then, so as you stream your data, you will store it somewhere, let's say blob storage or Azure Data Lake. Then every hour, you will have something which comes and moves it into an analytical store. Right, because in real time, realistically, you're not going to do
a lot.
Give me the trending of the last 10 years worth of sales, right? Because it makes a mockery of the real time stuff.
Yeah, you're just going to say, what's my average heart rate the last hour?
Or correct.
Something like this.
Yeah. Yeah. What is my average heart rate over the last 10 minutes? Is it different to the previous 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Which direction is it going? Boom, 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 boom. Right. Nice, fast. But then you with the Lambda architecture, you've still got that data store holding all of your big data.
Yeah.
And Data Factory will come along every hour, shift it into your analytical data stores.
Right, okay.
Yeah? And then you can go run over your favorite tool over the top and do whatever it is analytics that you want to do.
Because I hear people talking about, where I used to talk about extract, transform, load, ETL.
Yep.
Now we hear this extract, load, and transform, and that's another way of thinking about this.
Correct, so that's an interesting one, right? So back in the day, mm-hmm. before all this, extract, load, and transform was bad,
mm-hmm.
right? We didn't like that because you deposited a data set and then you worked on it. We didn't like that. We liked the ETL because you did it in memory and it was faster and you didn't have these data sets. Whereas now, Data Factory, you're right, is very much extract it, put it somewhere, do something with it. Yeah, so you're right.
Yeah. Okay, so we can see that it's a low-level coding environment.
Yep.
I realize I've kind of ruined things here, but jumping in a little bit. We've seen hinted at here that it's got a kind of concept of time, and we're slicing data
Correct.
In, and we know it runs at scale. So how do we do one?
Okay, how do we do one? Very interesting. So the way that we do one, so there's a number of ways that we can do it, right? We can still, if we have a lot of time on our hands and we're masochists, we can still go to Notepad or your favorite other text editor, and we can start typing.
Right.
And then there's a number of PowerShell commandlets that we can use to deploy those scripts.
Ah, right.
If that's your thing, I'm not going to judge you, right? You can also do a very similar-ish thing in the portal, right? And, I'll get the portal up in a second.
Fantastic.
Right? We can do a similar thing in the portal. Yeah. It's just it gives you a little bit of a hand-ish.
But what does the smart guy do? What does the MVP do?
So the smart guy does it. So for me, I do it in Visual Studio.
Right.
So Visual Studio, as of maybe a year ago, with a release with the Azure SDK, pushed out a data factory template. So you could have a data factory project, and then you could go build up these data factory projects.
Great. So it'd be good to see how that works as well, if we have time.
Thank you. So you can go, and then you can push it out. And like you said, you can deploy to an Azure Data Factory.
Cool.
Right. So, so that's the way that a lot of people do it.
So we create a sort of workspace, and then we put our bits and bobs in it.
Correct. Because an Azure Data Factory by itself is pretty rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It doesn't do anything.
Right.
It's like a container. Right. It really does nothing.
Right.
It's rather like a SQL Server in Azure. Right.
A
SQL Server in Azure is just a logical concept where you hang databases off. It's a database that are the billing units and the power units, right?
Yeah.
Same with Azure Data Factory. If you create an Azure Data Factory, it doesn't do anything.
Right.
So you then got to deploy something into it.
Okay.
Yeah. So what I would also bring up is that I think what Microsoft did is they heard that people just wanted to copy data from A to B, right? A copy activity. And doing all of this in even Visual Studio was a bit much for some people.
Mm.
So what appeared in the portal a while back was there's actually a copy data wizard now.
Ah, right.
So you can do, like the import-export data wizard in Management Studio?
Yeah.
It's a similar thing. It's a bit more pretty, to be honest. But you can go and you can build up a data factory, a pipeline, just through a wizard.
All right, fantastic.
And they've also brought in monitoring as well.
Yes.
So let me see.
Because that's always been one of the challenges. A lot of these tools, whichever, it's our tools or somebody else's tools, is finding out what went wrong, fixing it, and hopefully it's been designed in such a way that you can fix it afterwards. So we should come back to that too.
Yeah, so there's also there's also monitoring.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually monitoring, because back, even not so long ago, monitor exactly, you could see what had gone wrong, but getting to it was a very bladey experience, right? And by a bladey experience, I mean that you had to open up 3, 4, 5 blades to actually drill down into the problem.
So you're going off to the right and you need a big monitor.
Correct, and then you used to have to scroll across. So if you look on my screen now.
Whoa.
Right, so so this is a data factory, right? So let me see if.
Oh. Yeah.
So you'll see there that this is something that integration services developers might start to get a little more relaxed at.
Yeah.
But the thing is, with data factories, this is what all of your JSON builds. You don't start out with this.
Right. So you're writing code in this visualizer.
And it produces this. You're right. So there is currently no visual designer.
Mm.
It's an oft-asked thing. Will there be a visual designer for Visual Studio that I can drag and drop in a HD Insight cluster?
Yeah, I could go to Cloud Explorer, for example.
Correct.
And just go.
And just drag it across, and then you hook up a connector, and then you have it do an activity.
Mm-hmm.
That's not there yet, but who knows?
It's been requested, and you can vote for these changes.
So you can vote for. So the Azure team are very open, and they have these wish lists that people want, and then you can see if you get enough votes, or if the team see it and that's on their list, they'll put, okay, we're working on that. That will come.
Yeah. I think they are working on this. I think they've published that on the wish list. But that's how you keep up to date if you want to find out what's going on with any of the things we're talking about today. Like we'll be talking about Power BI later on. You can see that cadence of releases there.
Yep. So this here, you can see, that there's some items which are coloured green.
Yes.
Green is a good colour.
Yeah.
Right, green is a good colour. You see those that are coloured more
pink.
Now I don't think that they're red, right?
Yeah, pink. I'm going to say pink.
I was going to say cerise.
Okay then.
Okay.
Right. You're going to give me a whole colour.
Well, no, I just cerise because I wanted it to sound good. But that's
not good.
Non-green colour says something's not quite right here.
Right.
And that's your way of knowing that something isn't going the way that you wanted it to. But you can see that you can actually get quite complicated flows within your Azure Data Factory.
Yeah, you've got a lot of precedents and what have you going on.
Yep.
And I can imagine if you've got sort of that box, the top right-hand corner there, you've got four things going into it. So that's only going to execute when you've got all of those bits in play.
Yeah, so you'll see also there's numbers within. That tells you how many activities are within that pipeline, right?
Okay.
So there's seven different things within that.
Okay.
Right, and there's nine over there and what have you. Now we've used pipelines very similar to this for customers that are doing, I think they were 20 million rows an hour.
Whoa.
20 million rows of data an hour.
And then this is waking up every hour and doing
This is waking up every hour, moving it. And ours was to move it from blob storage, do something in HD Insight, and then push that HD Insight result out to Azure SQL DB.
Right, and that's going to be a pretty common scenario for people. We always talk about unstructured data.
Yep.
Of course, there is no such thing. We're applying a particular structure to it,
correct,
like a tweet or a, heaven forbid, a wave file, you know, a sound file maybe, and we're then going to lay that into structured data that other tools can consume.
Correct. So for us, our source was JSON. We then brought it in and we pushed it through HD Insights and we ran a pig script over the top to do some extractions and to conform it, do a bit of cleansing. We then pushed that out into Azure SQL DB.
Right. So this is another, I think, important concept. So you're writing orchestration in JSON, but you are calling an HD Insight cluster. So you're going to be using a different language to do that transformation.
Correct.
Right, okay. So we'll probably want to see that too.
Yep.
I'm giving you a shopping list here.
Yeah. So HD Insight clusters, right? So we all know that Microsoft have this thing, we have Hadoop in Azure, and it's HD Insight.
Yep.
Right? HD Insight probably isn't the cheapest thing in Azure.
No.
Right? Probably not.
You've got one customer with 500?
Yeah. Yeah, so don't get me wrong, there are people who have this, but most people don't run HD Insight all the time. So the brilliant thing that Azure Data Factory allows you to do is it allows you to say, you know what, I want to use the power of a distributed compute, but I only want it for this particular time. So therefore, I want Microsoft to spin up a HD Insight cluster in the background, give it my data, play my scripts, deposit my results, and tear it down. So you really do just pay for exactly what you use.
So you can schedule this thing to turn off after the run? Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
So it only lives for the lifetime of your pipeline.
Fantastic.
Absolutely brilliant.
Which I guess is why, because obviously we could code a lot of this stuff. People would talk about something like Yarn or what have you.
Yep.
There's orchestration tools inside a Hadoop. But then you've got to have the Hadoop thing alive to do that. And some organizations that might work for, a big bank or a government department, but for the rest of us, then this is really useful.
Correct. So most people that we talk to or that we work with don't have a Hadoop cluster always on.
Yeah.
they have it just when they need, and they run it, and it sparks up, boom.
Yeah.
Spark, okay. Not being the opposite.
No, we're doing that next.
That's next. That's Richard next.
Yes, Richard next, yeah.
Okay. So, this is, I just wanted to get a quick look at the dashboard. So this is the dashboard that you will see.
So this is a blade in Azure, this thing we pop out from the portal.
Correct. Yep. So this here is a picture of an Azure Data Factory that has absolutely nothing in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
So you see the button over on the left, author and deploy? That is where you will build things by hand.
Yeah, in the portal, so I don't need
Correct.
Any tooling on my machine.
Correct.
Yeah.
Copy data, that is where you will do your wizard.
Mm-hmm.
Sample pipelines, what Microsoft did is they said, you know what, there's common patterns here. How about we build that pipeline and you just plug your stuff in?
Okay.
So your common thing is picking up from blob storage, putting into SQL Server. Right?
Yeah.
Diagram is what you saw,
mm-hmm.
with the cerise and green boxes.
Yep.
And then you've got your monitoring and managing and metrics and operations.
Right. And then we've got more detailed view of the components underneath.
Correct. So you get to see how many data sets you've got, how many pipelines, and how many linked services. And then you get with errors and things like that. So you can have a look at what's erroring as well.
Okay. Fantastic.
So let me go through to the... I was going to show you that, but let me go through to the portal.
Yeah.
And I've got this. So that's not...
sharpest resolution. We might increase the zoom, maybe, Alan, so you just see if that... yeah, there we go. We can see what's going on there. Yeah,
yeah, okay. So essentially, this isn't actually a data factory. What I wanted to do was showing that what I'm doing currently is I'm pushing data from a point of sale system.
Yep.
And I'm pushing it into blob storage.
So I notice this is stream analytics, which we're not covering here.
Yep.
So this is, imagine this could be connected up to a web trading front website or something like
Correct.
That. And as people are buying things, it's just
This is connected up to point of sale system, right?
Right.
So
okay.
every site's done, so boom. And this is my Lambda architecture, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've got this point of sale system throwing out data. Streaming analytics is doing something with that data, right? In real time, boom, boom.
Yeah.
So I could say, in this particular example, it's not doing a whole load,
mm-hmm.
but it could be.
Mm-hmm.
It could be, right? And you'll see that I'm throwing out a bit of data.
Yeah.
Right. But then what I've also got is if I go over to my resource groups, I appreciate that we can't see it. I think what's happened is my resolution has reset itself.
Yeah. Okay.
And unfortunately, I've got a Surface. Well, fortunately, I've got a Surface Book, but unfortunately, I've got a Surface Book, which means that I've got very good resolution.
Yeah.
Which very few projectors and monitors will like. So this is my data factory. And I've got absolutely nothing in it.
Right.
If I go to author and deploy,
this is where we create the bits.
These are where I could, if I wanted, go and create the bits.
So just a quick recap. Linked services, how I connect to something like a SQL Server or an HDFS.
Connection set. Managers.
Yep. Data sets are the individual things. Pipelines doing the moving. And the gateway thing is, if I am doing the on-premises thing.
Correct.
Yep. Okay.
It's how do I get, it's the gateway between Azure and your on-premise
yep.
thing.
Okay.
Like I said, to be honest, every single one of our customers is born in the cloud, moves in the cloud.
Yeah, they run their businesses in the cloud already, right?
So that data is born in the cloud and it never needs to come on-premise and go back up again. That's not to say, I do listen to others who are using Data Factory and they use the data gateway and they flow data up and down.
Okay, yes,
sir. Right? Okay. And one of the things that you can do with this is you can, so you can have a new data set and you can choose Azure Blob Storage. So this is a gateway.
Yeah.
So what it allows, so Microsoft will give you this little wizard and they'll fill in certain parts of it for you.
Yeah. So it's going to create the JSON.
Correct.
Okay, cool.
If we went to the copy data, it takes us over to a new new site. This is, so this wizard will go and build you a data factory pipeline, a copied data pipeline. Right, so it doesn't just so you can have it just execute the once, or you can have it execute on a schedule. So let's see it just wake up. So you'll see here.
Yep.
So it's very similar to the import export wizard, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see that we've got run once now, which is whatever I tell you to do, just do it now, and that's it. Right? Maybe it's a one-time data move. Maybe somebody's come to you and said, Andrew, can you move all that blob data? And can you move it into SQL Server, and it'll never happen again. So you'll just do that run once now, and you'll create this, and away it goes. Here, let's see if I can get the right one. Here's the interesting one.
Mm.
So this is your pattern.
Yes.
So this is your time. This is when do I execute? So for this one, for example, it's saying I want to execute daily every one day. But you could also have that monthly, quarterly, hourly. Most people run hourly.
Yeah.
Right. So most people run hourly. And then if we said, okay, I'm gonna have it run hourly.
Yeah. And then I've got all my things here.
And then you get, and you'll see, look at that.
Yeah, so it's a good old mix of interesting stuff there. As you say, born in the cloud, Salesforce, on-premises, SQL Server. Yeah.
MySQL, Cassandra. It's not just Microsoft data sources right? Because I think that's a very interesting thing is so that there's lots of different data stores out there, right? People use different things.
Yeah.
So Azure Data Factory allows people to use and move data across all of those.
Yeah.
And we could go ahead and we could create those. So let me see if I've got Visual Studio installed.
Oh, well, I hope so. I know you're running Enterprise here, but just while that's loading up, Community Edition is just fine for this.
Yeah, so Community Edition, I think, is fine for 95% of all Visual Studio.
All the wizards and everything will all work there, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just the team element when you're
control,
yeah.
I think there's, so you can't do it. I know that when Amy and I present on IoT, it doesn't do the universal Windows apps Community Edition.
Yeah.
So I know we always have that problem, but besides that, I mean, it's pretty good for most things, right?
Okay.
Right, so let me find my mouse, which has gone over there. File, new project. And let's hope that I've got it installed. And I don't have the template installed, unfortunately.
Okay, not to worry.
No, I don't have that template installed. But if you did, so one of the problems is recently I've had to format my PC. But you would get here, you would get a data factory project.
And we can see there's some big data stuff in here. So I mean, I've had a little bit of a play with this, and actually I'm quite lazy. Sometimes I would use that copy thing, and then I can pull down what I've done into Visual Studio.
Yep.
I can open the existing project. I can
yep.
deploy a new project and every way around that you want to kind of go with that. which is very useful. But source control and version control is all that sort of super important when you're doing a big data project. And then it's going to blend in with all the other bits and pieces you've got here. I think the one thing to, if we can have a look at, is this business of calling other kinds of code from within Data Factory, Alan.
Yep. Just let me find my mouse again. Good. So my mouse has disappeared. Okay, so it seems that my PC is frozen. Sorry about that.
Yeah, okay, Alan. I think we'll probably want to wrap that up there. We'll host up a link with some ADF resources, yep. Some tutorials to have a look at here, to work through and how you build your first data factory. I guess, what would your sort of advice be to people sort of like starting out using this and based on what you've been doing? If you can just finish with that question.
So if I was starting out, I would don't approach this as though it's integration services. Don't be scared just because it's JSON, right? Look at, like we said, the copy data wizard. Mm-hmm. Look at the Visual Studio templates. Going from there and understanding that it's not integration services and it doesn't do the movement, you call out something else. So go in with that mindset, because if you go in with a mindset of integration services, it isn't integration services. Yep. And that's probably the biggest hindrance that people coming to Data Factory have.
Would it be, I mean, to me it feels a little bit like going back to data transformation services, if I can give my age away here.
I loved it.
So what we did then was we would have like a store proc sitting inside a database.
Yep.
And we call that. And that's what we're going to kind of doing here, which is why I wanted to talk that out. So if you're in HD Insight, you're going to go and call a script, an HQL script.
Correct.
If you're in, if your target SQL Server, you'll call that. And as we'll find out in a minute when we start talking about R on Spark, our next session, we'll show you how you would write in that, and then you would call that from here.
Correct.
So the right guy's doing the right job. You're the orchestration guy. Maybe I'm the guy a bit close to the data science team who is going to design that piece of code and test it, and then we put it into production using ADF.
Correct. I would present the data for you, and then you would manipulate it.
Alan, thanks for that. Sorry we had a bit of, I think we upset your machine with the display there.
Yeah.
We'll be back after a very short break while we sort a few of these things out with Richard Conway talking about Spark on R. So stay tuned, grab coffee.